How many know this is a relationship that we're involved with here? Amen. We want to grow in Him, in our knowledge, right? And also in grace. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God's plan was that we would be united together and that each part would work. It's no different than our physical bodies. Every part has its place, right? We have to be functioning according to God's purpose for us. And if the hand tries to be a foot, it's going to be dysfunctional. But the hand has to say, you know what? Well, maybe I'm just a finger. That's okay. How many know that if you're missing a finger, you're missing something quite valuable? So every one of us has value in the kingdom. God designed us. He called us. None of us decided that I'm going to look like this, be like this, have these abilities when we were born. Nobody had any say in it. God says, you're going to look like that. You're going to be like this. This is going to be your personality. These are going to be your traits. These are going to be your characteristics. These are going to be your talents and your abilities. And then when we come to the Lord and we surrender, you know, the old, we redeem basically, right? We cash in. The old, God gives us the new beginning. And what God does is He takes even that which is natural and He supersizes it. So the super, amen, overcomes our natural and we become a supernatural person and an expression of God's heart. Amen. How many know that God is supernatural, right? Hallelujah. And so we should be living a supernatural life. That's a life in Christ, amen, before the world. So the world will witness the reality of what we even speak of. Because God had promised to confirm His word with signs following. Hallelujah. So we believe that all things, not just some things, but all things are possible to them that believe. Amen. Hallelujah. So whatever you are dealing with this morning, God's big enough for it. Amen. He's more than enough. He can take care of it. God wants us to find rest in Him. You know, lay those things down. Lay Him down at the altar. Give it up. Give up the fight. Give up the struggle. Just give in. Say, Lord, okay, I surrender to Your will and to Your way for me. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. The devil's a hard taskmaster, but the Lord's yoke is easy. It's light. So we find rest for our souls in Him. I know there's a lot of people just trying to drink it away and smoke it away or whatever. Sleep it away. But your refuge, your rest, your peace is only going to be found in your Creator, who designed you and I uniquely as part of Him, part of His body. He is the head. We are the expression of Him here on the earth, His body. Amen. So He is to rule and will rule from heaven. And you and I, as the body, will submit to His lordship and be that expression of Him, whether it's a finger or a foot or toe or a nose. Some people are very discerning, you know. Some people are the eyes, too. They can see. All right? And the ears. You know, there's three different types of people primarily. They're the kinesthetic people. Those are the ones that are the touchy-feely types, you know, and I sense something, I feel something. And you know, God gave us emotions, and sometimes they can be very much connected to what's happening in the spirit realm. But we also have to be careful that we're not deceived by our emotions, right? But also, God gives some people a visual ability where they see everything in pictures. So when you speak to them, they'll say, do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? It's like they're visualizing what you're saying, okay? Or an audio person, you know, some of us are more audio, and we listen, we hear tones, we hear, you know, things being said that maybe nobody else is catching, especially people that are musical, you know. We're like, do you hear what I say? You know, do you hear what I say? Again, the visuals say, do you see what I'm saying? You know. So anyways, we're all unique. The point is that we just need to know who we are, discover that part, and fully commit ourselves, amen, to be that expression of God here in this earth. God wants to work through a people who will submit themselves to Him. And every one of us is a minister. to some capacity. Amen. Not everybody's a pastor, but everybody is a minister in the body of Christ. Amen. So God wants you to know that you have value because you don't redeem something that's not valuable. How much did he love me? He shed his blood for me because you were worth that much to him. And the devil has lied to people and told them they're worthless. They're not any good. They're not as good as others. Guys, it's just like the foot saying, I wish I was a hand because I'm just a foot. But the hand is saying, man, I'm glad I got a foot, you know. And the foot says, man, I'm glad I got a hand because every part of us is valuable. Every part of us is important. I just wanted to say that because I felt the Lord wanted me to say that. Good idea? Father, we thank you again for today, for giving us another day, giving us another opportunity. Lord, this day will soon pass and we won't be able to go back and redeem anything. We won't be able to change anything. But what we do have is right now. We have this moment and possibly a few days ahead. So, Lord, while we are here, we want to live our lives with purpose, with meaning. Lord, we want to bear fruit unto eternal life. So, Heavenly Father, by your Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd remove the veil from our eyes, enlighten us, help us to understand and know who we are in you, what we're called to, and who you are in us. And I pray today, Lord, that you would open our understanding as I speak this word, that you will sow your truth into our hearts and give us understanding that we might be transformed, God. I pray that you would renew our minds today. You'd restore our souls. I pray that you bring us into harmony, into unity, into one accord, as we as one body, hallelujah, indivisible with liberty and justice, hallelujah. It will be an expression of you. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for our America. Father, that you would heal our land. God, we pray, forgive our sin. Wake up your people, God, across this nation. Activate us, Lord, to do what we need to do. Lord, in obedience to what you want us to do. Father, we pray, grant us repentance as a nation. Repentance unto life. For the sake of our children and even our children's children, God, that we may continue to enjoy the liberties that we have as a nation, Father, I pray. Have mercy on us, Lord. Father, not in your justice, but in your mercy, save us. Turn us back to you. And Father, we pray also that you give us justice against those rogue operators throughout our government, God, that have undermined the Constitution and their oath of office. Lord, we know that you take these things seriously. And we pray, Father, that there will be a replacement. God, that you'll raise up righteous men and women to take place of those, Lord, who have violated their oath of office. And we pray for the sake of our nation and for all of us here, God. Thank you, God, for allowing us to live in such a great nation and for the freedoms that we enjoy. So, Father, give strength to each one of us to live a life above reproach, to be an example for others, to live in such a way, Lord, that we will bring honor and glory to you, Lord, every day. Here we are. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to begin this morning with scripture reading from Matthew chapter 3. In verse 4, and the title of the message is, Are You Ready? Are you ready? John the Baptist, of course, being the forerunner of Christ. John being the one who said, Behold the Lamb of God, who comes to take away the sins of the world. It says, John's clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food he ate locusts and wild honey. And people from Jerusalem and from all of Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to watch him baptize, he denounced them. "You brood of snakes," he exclaimed, "who warned you to flee God's coming wrath?" Listen to what he said in verse 8. "Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, 'We're safe, for we are descendants of Abraham.' That means nothing. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gather the wheat into his barn, but burn the chaff with never-ending fire." All those who are without God's grace will not be saved. For it is by grace that we are saved. We're cleansed by God, amen? And by his grace we're kept. By his grace we're made holy. Who's the chaff? The chaff are those who do not trust Christ. But those who truly believe in Jesus, obey him. What was the fruit of John's preaching? What was his message? It was a message of repentance, wasn't it? The message of repentance. John was what? The forerunner of Christ. I believe, guys, if you study the New Testament and you look at the apostles and what they did and what they spoke, amen, beginning with Jesus, amen, it was a message of repentance. For God commands all men everywhere to repent. Amen? In Acts 17, we read, "For what? He has appointed a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. And he has given assurance of this, and that he has raised him," Jesus, right, "from the dead." So we have a great high priest, an advocate with the Father representing us. Amen? And whoever would call upon him would find mercy. Amen? Would find grace. Hallelujah. But for those who refuse the love of the truth, they'll be destroyed. Because you will get what you want. If you want life, you want Jesus. Amen? If you love death, you'll reject Christ and his message. Why was John's preaching so effective? Well, because he preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. What was really the fruit of his preaching? It was a deep contrition. It was a conviction of sin. Even where the people came and they confessed their sins audibly. And even in front of their friends and associates. So there was such a conviction that came upon the people that they were not trying to go hide anything anymore. They knew that they had to come clean. They had to get it right before God because godly sorrow came upon them. And they knew that they were in trouble. Because the Holy Spirit had moved upon their hearts and convicted them of their sin. And yet the Pharisees, who thought that they were righteous in themselves, and they compared themselves to others and they boasted about their accomplishments, thinking that somehow they were a little better than anybody else. Because they didn't do such things. Outwardly, they had the appearance of being righteous, but inwardly, Jesus said they were full of what? Dead men's bones. They're like walking graves. And so God came to deal with the heart. Amen? Man can do a lot of things outwardly and impress people by what we do outwardly. Amen? But God looks upon the heart. And it's the heart that needs to be fixed. Amen? It needs to be exchanged, basically. We need a new heart. Amen? We need new life. Hallelujah. You can't patch up the old thing. Amen? You need a new beginning. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus came to do. Is to bring us into new life. Bring us into a new beginning. Hallelujah. Give us a fresh start. You can be born again. Oh. Listen to the announcement of the birth of John by the angel of the Lord. And he said in verse 15 of Luke chapter 1, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God." Now, the angel said he was going to be what? Great in the sight of the Lord. Aren't you glad that God doesn't judge according to outward appearance? Because I know if John showed up today in camel's hair, right, and we might be locking him up or something, but and eating bugs. But God had called John, and John had sanctified, separated himself to be a vessel for the Lord. Amen. And because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was effective in his ministry. You and I, apart from Christ, apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, are ineffective in any type of ministry we may. We may do good works, good deeds. Are you hearing me? You may even serve in the church, teach Sunday school, sing in the choir, whatever it might be. But how many know a lot of the things that you do in a church, you can actually do without God? But the only thing that's going to have effect is that which we've done in submission to the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? As we have allowed the Lord to work through our lives, hallelujah, and we've realized that I don't have what people need. It's not about me. Amen? People need Jesus. And I'm willing to be a vessel, amen, that the Lord would work through. But I don't want me to be the center of attention. How many know the Holy Spirit always draws attention to Jesus? Behold the Lamb of God. That was John. You and I are doing the same thing today. We're drawing attention to Jesus and not to ourselves. Amen? It's really not our ministry. It's the ministry of the Lord, amen, through yielded vessels. God allows us to partner with him, to join together with him. What did John say in verse 8? He said, "Bear fruits worthy of repentance." The New Living Translation says, "Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God." See, people need to understand, first of all, that they're lost, amen, and that there is no hope apart from the mercy of God. That I can't, as much good as I want to do and try to do, I'm never going to be good enough for him who is holy and perfect and flawless, amen, and cannot look upon sin. So even though we may do a lot of good things, if there is sin in our lives, we are in trouble because you cannot stand in his presence with sin. And that's the awesome thing of the cross, amen, that is God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. God the Son, amen, came, became the Son of Man, became our sacrifice, paid the price for our sins of the world, amen, even. That through his death, burial, and resurrection, we could come into new life. We could have a new beginning. We could be free from the power of sin, and we could live a life that honors God, a life that is righteous and holy. John saw a danger here, though. Because it says that the Pharisees came out to do what? To watch him. Now, the people were repenting, being baptized, but the Pharisees were coming out to do what? Just to watch, to observe what he was doing. He said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Well, of course, it was the Spirit of the Lord working. Amen? How they became aware. But the Pharisees were kind of like in it to find out, well, what's happening? There's a new exciting thing happening over here. Let's go check it out. You know, he saw that his preaching was becoming popular. Do you know people can have charisma? They can have great influence. Ever been around somebody that just people are attracted to them like a magnet? Just automatically, you can be talking to somebody and somebody else shows up and all of a sudden you're just like, I don't know, chopped liver? Is that the word? And everybody just kind of goes right over there. Why? Because they have a charisma about them. They have a natural charisma, even that God has given them. All right? And because of that, people can use their charisma for good or evil. People entertain. We can go to a show and be entertained by somebody that has charisma. Amen? But with that charisma also comes great responsibility, because we are going to influence people one way or another. So whatever charisma that we have, we are responsible as stewards of that. Amen? That if we have any influence, we should be using it for the will of God and not for the will of self. Preaching of the gospel should never be a spectacle or a form of entertainment. I know a lot of things have shifted and changed recently. We've all witnessed a lot of sudden changes in our whole life and the way we were used to doing things. And even many churches have closed up. There was one statistic I heard, that 1 out of 5 has permanently closed its doors in America due to the COVID and the things that have happened as of recent. And I know that in some cases, the message that people were listening to is not working for them now because they've been given the wrong message. A message that's void of any type of sacrifice, self-denial. Instead, they've been listening to the message that just made me feel good. I believe that we should be the most optimistic people on the planet because we have hope in the Lord. Amen? I'm not talking about being negative and pessimistic. I'm talking about giving people a message that centers on them and not on the Lord. How you can have your best life now. It's not about us, guys. It's about giving our lives back to the one who gave himself for us. Amen. He was sacrificed on the cross. He gave his life willingly to redeem us. Amen. To have his own special people that would be zealous of good works, that would be willing to join and partner with Jesus in his mission and now live for the one who died for them and rose again. Amen. Instead, it's been about how can you have more? How can you have better stuff? How's that working now? You can name and claim all you want, but there's times that we go through these seasons in life where things are out of our control, and God wants it that way. So you learn how to trust in Him. Come on, somebody. You learn how to find rest in the Lord and know of His faithfulness. And my God, He shall supply all my need. That's something we can hold on to. Amen. It doesn't mean all my wants, but it means my needs. Hallelujah. And be glad and be thankful in all things. Keep your heart in the right perspective. Now, some Christian circles, the Sunday service has been reduced to nothing more than an hour of entertainment. Yeah? Well, I ain't got nothing better to do, Margaret. Let's go to church and listen to the band. Now, if you came here for that, you'll be disappointed. But, you know, we come for Jesus, all right? Hallelujah. We thank God for the talents He's given us. Amen? Yes. But we're not here to impress. Really, we're not. We're before an audience of one. When we come together, amen, Jesus needs to be the center. He's the honored guest. Hallelujah. Amen? He's Lord of everything we do. And understand that when we're here gathering in His name, that He wants to work through you and through me. Amen. We heard the prophetic word this morning. Amen. God speaks to us, through us. And we need to be faithful to commit ourselves to trust. And get over the fear of man. Step out for Jesus. If you make a blunder, we're not going to take you out at the knees. We may escort you promptly out the door. No, I'm just kidding. But we want you to step out for Jesus if you feel like God has given you something. But just take your time, amen, with that. And don't get impulsive. Just wait on God. If God's in it, amen, it's going to produce life. How many know that anything that Jesus touches is living, amen? He's the living waters, hallelujah. And wherever that water flows, amen, things come alive. We come alive. He quickens us. And when we worship and we sing and we praise, when we touch the heart of God, we are quickened inside. We are made alive. Hallelujah. So the key is to touch His heart. And when we speak what he's speaking, we're touching his heart. Amen. When we praise and thank him for the things he's doing for us, it touches his heart. When we speak of his promises, it touches his heart because it means that we're trusting him. And so God is allowing some things in our nation, I believe, to get his people's attention. And I do know that more people are praying now than before. Amen. Some people are realizing, hey, man, things are really getting crazy. All right. People are really coming unglued. And if I'm not careful, I'll come unglued too. What do I need to do? Well, I don't need another pill. I just need to get close to Jesus. Amen. Because that's where I'm going to find rest. That's where I'm going to find peace. Hallelujah. They said there's been an increase of alcohol consumption. Why? Because people are looking for solutions in the wrong place. Drug addiction. Trying to satisfy something, amen, that only God can truly satisfy. He's the one that will give you that peace, amen, that assurance. Drug addiction, alcoholism, it's an idol. It's another God. You're looking to that for solace rather than the Lord. I'm not here to suggest that God doesn't use therapeutics and things like that. I'm talking about people who are just trying to escape their problems through substance abuse. I've been there. I've done that. How about you? That doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work for very long. And then payday comes. The enemy never gives you anything without taking more in return. He's a liar. He's a thief. How many know there's nothing new under the sun? You know, sometimes religion, excuse the expression, but religion can be a spectacle for people. Just an activity. Or sometimes just a tradition. Why do you do this? Well, because we've always done it this way. We sing our three songs. Have a prayer. You know, maybe recite the Lord's Prayer. Have an offering. Sermonette. You know. We can get into a rut, in a routine, and just do things because, why do you do it this way? Well, show me in the Bible where it says you have to have a church service that looks like that. Well, I can tell you from Psalms 100 that it does say, come before his presence with singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. You got it right. A lot of people put praise in there. And then his courts with praise. Hallelujah. So the first thing is God. Amen. He's got to be the center of our attention. Hallelujah. Christ at the center. And then everything else seems to just come into order. Things begin to flow. God begins to move on people. Amen. We start to flow and work together as a body, being an expression of God. And the whole body is mutually edified or built up because people have been responsible to obey the voice of God, and you have to overcome yourself in order to do that. You have to get over yourself before you can effectively minister for Christ. Come on, somebody. You can't be full of you and full of Jesus. Amen. If you're full of you and you're trying to do something for Jesus, people will know it's you. Come on. It'll bomb out. You know, you can even be theologically correct and have a sound sermon, but it would be void of life if God's not in it. There's nothing new under the sun. How about in Ezekiel's day, in chapter 33 of Ezekiel, verse 30? As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. Verse 31, so they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love. Wow. But their hearts pursue their own gain. In other words, they weren't in it for God. They were in it for themselves. And you know, we can easily get caught up in the same thing. I can too. Verse 32, indeed, you are to them a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. What was John's passion? John's passion was to prepare people's hearts to receive Jesus. And our passion should be the same. You see, the law is the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. In Galatians 3:24, therefore the law was our tutor or schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. The law points out the fact that even though God loves people, he hates sin and will not tolerate it. And we need to get this right, guys. God loves people, but he hates sin. And he will not tolerate it. Make no mistake about this. Some people wrongly assume that because God loves them, that it's okay to continue living in sin. Well, God loves me, so I can still go out and do whatever I want. How many know the Bible warns us not to grieve the Spirit, not to grieve the Spirit of the Lord? You grieve the Spirit of the Lord when you do those things that are contrary to the law of the Spirit in you. It's not okay. I heard somebody say the other day, well, God loves us. Yes, he does. And he's very patient with us. And he tolerates a lot. Amen? But when it comes to sin, sin is not to be tolerated in our lives. We need to take responsibility for what we do in our own actions. Why? Because God gave us charge. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit gives us self-control. So we can tell our body what it's supposed to do and not the other way around. Are you hearing me, somebody? Some people want to make excuses and justify what they do. Well, I'm only human, but if you're in Christ, you're superhuman and you have the grace of God to do what pleases God. Not that you're going to be perfect, but your motivations will be different now. Your heart will long to do what pleases God. Amen. And when you fail the Lord, you will be convicted by the Spirit and you'll come back to him. How many know the law is the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ? Amen. We come back from under grace. Amen. If we get back into self-performance, then all of a sudden we realize that I don't have the grace, the strength to do what God calls me to do, so I need to get back under grace. I need to reconnect with Jesus. Amen. And there I will find the help I need. Amen. To live above the world, the flesh, and the devil. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. If you stay connected to Jesus, it's not some egregious thing that you're doing. Amen. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, it's like going from a handsaw to a power saw. The Lord empowers us by his Spirit to do that which pleases him. And that which God accepts is the fruit of his Spirit. Amen? Not our fruit, but his fruit. As we yield ourselves and allow God to work through our lives. Hallelujah. A denying of self so that I can position myself to be the servant of the Lord and bear fruit unto eternal life. See, the people had to be through with their sin before they were ready for Jesus. And that's why John spoke to the people and says, you need to repent. And you need to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. You need to prove by the way that you live that you have truly repented. You see, a lot of people say, I believe Jesus. I accept Jesus into my heart. But the way they live tells you that they haven't received Jesus. Why? You can't receive Jesus and live like the devil. You can't serve two masters. And God empowers us by his Spirit. Amen. And we need to rely upon the grace of God, because it's by the grace of God that we're saved. It's by the grace of God that we are delivered. And it's by the grace of God that we are kept. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Unless you abide in me, you can bear no fruit. So God is wanting us to be weaned off self-sufficiency and self-exaltation and self-esteem and all the self stuff the world is pumping down our throats and telling you, it's all about you. No, it's not. It's all about Jesus now. Jesus did it all for me. Amen. Now I can live my life for him, for his name. I represent him as an ambassador. And an ambassador does not represent their own interests, but the interests of the one who sent them. So what does the law do? It points out the fact that even though God loves people, he hates sin and will not tolerate it. So the law causes us to realize that apart from the Lord, I can do nothing. I can't do it. I can't live the life God called me to live apart from him. What we've been called to do is impossible without the grace of God. Are you hearing it today? And so if people don't pray, then they don't really have faith. Because we walk by faith. And faith says that I need God. He's my life. He's my daily bread. In Him I live. All right? And so if we say we walk by faith, it means that we walk under His authority, relying upon His ability to be the expression of His heart in this world. And that's what God is calling His people to do, is we need to be willing to count the cost and say, is it worth it all? And say, yes. Because here we have but a moment. Our life is a vapor. Soon, amen, we're going to see the Lord. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. So today is a day to be prepared. Question is, are you ready to meet the Lord? John's message was repentance, to point people to the one who was coming after him, the one who would save them, amen? The one who would baptize them with the Holy Spirit and fire, amen? He said, I'm not worthy to carry his sandals, but I'm pointing you to him, okay? My job is to baptize you. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen. And Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be, what? His witnesses. You and I cannot be a witness for Jesus apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's why we worship. That's why we praise. That's why we give thanks. Amen. That's why we fast and pray. Amen. Because we need God. And blessed, extremely happy to be envied are those who realize that they need God's righteousness. They need Him. But to the ones who think, oh, I'm fine, I'm good, no problem, they're like that fruit that's just shriveled up and dying on the vine and not even aware of their true condition. See, God wants us to be aware. Draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Isn't it interesting how light exposes things? You come into that closet you haven't been in 6 months and turn the light on. Oh my word, what are these little fuzz balls? You can have all kinds of dust in that closet and not even be aware it was there if you're not paying attention. You know, think about your life as that, I've used this before, but as a house. Your vessel, your body is being a house with all kinds of rooms and places. You know, oh, I hope nobody ever looks in that closet over there. Well, yeah, well, you can be my honored guest here in the living room, but stay out of the bedroom. And whatever you do, don't go in the basement. How many know God wants to fill every part of our being? He wants us to give Him permission to have all of us. And the more that we're willing to give it over to Him and yield to Him and allow Him to fill us, the more light we'll have. Amen. And what does light do? It exposes hidden things. And the light brings, all right, those hidden things, all right, and makes them visible. And then you can say, Lord, I didn't realize. Please forgive me. Because we become aware of our true condition in the light of Christ. Otherwise, we will judge from our own understanding and our own wisdom and say, well, I'm a pretty good Christian. I've heard people say that. I'm a pretty good Christian. Next thing you know, they're falling on their face. Why? Because they're trusting in themselves that they're a good Christian. The Christian life is impossible without Jesus. Amen. People think I just do my religious thing on the weekend and then, you know, we're good. Lord, chalk that up in my account in heaven. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, it says, the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience. You mean God wants me to experience sorrow? Leads us away from sin and results in salvation. Do you understand that there is no salvation until a person is repentant? Until they are done with sin. You're not ready for Jesus until you're done with you. And what John's preaching was doing is bringing people to a place where they were done with their ways, okay? And they were going to then have to bear the fruit to prove that actually they were done with their ways by not going back into the same cesspool and repeating the same folly. They had truly repented means that from now on, I'm doing something different now. I'm under new management. I'm coming under the management of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's going to be Lord of my life. I'm going to obey Him now. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to do the things I used to do. I repent of my sin. And when you're positioned that way, when your heart is in that place, God gives His grace to the humble, because the humble one is the one that says, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've blown it. I know that I can't do this thing, God. I keep failing over and over again. And God says, good, you need to realize that you can't do it on your own. And you need to fail over and over again until you come to the end of yourself and you realize that now, God, I'm ready to surrender it all, to give you the old thing, the old mess, and lay my whole life down for you. Hallelujah. And when God sees that you have humbled yourself, He gives His grace to the humble. And He reaches down and He lifts us up. Amen. And He makes us His own. He gives us a new heart. Your desires change. You want to live for God now. Amen. And He gives us His Holy Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to lead us into all truth, and to comfort us along the way. So we're never alone. So the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. And there's no regret for that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. I think of Judas, who had taken part of the ministry of Jesus. How many know that he had received of the anointing, that he was sent out with the others to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to proclaim the kingdom? But Judas was unrepentant. Judas was a thief, as you remember. And the kind of sorrow that he experienced was the worldly kind of sorrow. The godly sorrow, the conviction that God brings upon us, is for a good thing. How many know whenever the Holy Spirit convicts you, it's always for the purpose of redeeming. It's always for the purpose of healing and restoring. Amen? It's never to condemn. God convicts us to save us. The devil accuses you to condemn you. God convicts you by the Spirit, so you will turn to Him, to your advocate with the Father, and plead, amen, for His mercy. And Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us, and He represents us to the Father. He says, Father, here's a repentant one here. Here's one that's willing to turn from their sinful ways and follow me. And the Father says, grace, mercy, peace, love, joy, goodness, all the good fruits, amen, come to those who humble themselves, submit themselves to God, and realize that in themselves there's no good thing. It's not about me being anything. It's about who God is in me and who makes me good, who makes me righteous, who makes me holy. My holiness is Jesus, amen. And when I'm in partnership, when I'm in harmony with Jesus, my life will reflect the fruit of Jesus. And people will say, now that's a righteous man or that's a righteous woman. Why? Because they walk with God. Not because they just act righteous. That's what the Pharisees did. They had many people convinced that they were righteous because they did so many good deeds. And you know, I've said it before, but sometimes people want to bribe God. They don't want to obey the Lord and submit themselves and repent of those things. Instead, they'll just do some good things on the side and hope that that'll pay off God somehow. Are you getting it? God says, repent, believe, call on me. I'll rescue you. I'll heal you. I'll restore you. I'll forgive you. I'll give you new life, new hope, a new beginning. But if you don't repent, you'll perish. People wanted to compare themselves to Jesus, and He says, unless you repent. They want to compare themselves to others. He says, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. God is granting us right now, did you know that? Opportunity to repent. That's God's love. That's God's mercy. That's God's grace. It's saying, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come clean and to forsake your ways and take up your cross and follow me. And you'll have treasure in heaven. Esau was not interested in a change of heart, but only a change in his circumstances. In Hebrews 12:16, it says, make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. For you knew that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was what? Too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. You see, there are people that come to God because they have a need. And I don't know about you, but I have needs, and I come to God often with needs. Amen. And when I first came to the Lord, it was because I had a need. How about you? You came to Jesus, amen, because you had a need. Amen. But how many know that God wants us to go beyond just getting our needs filled, but coming into a relationship with Him? Amen. And walking with Him and sharing life together with Him. But sometimes people are just coming to God because they want something from God. But they're not interested in God. God, get me out of this and I'll... I may have said that one before. But when God touches our hearts and we experience, like the old song of Keith Green, Till Your Love Broke Through. Randy Stonehill as well. He wrote it together. Till Your Love Broke Through. And I encountered that love, that mercy, that God. Everything changed. I wanted to love. I wanted to serve. I wanted to give. I wanted to bless. I wanted to walk with Jesus. Hallelujah. When you experience the forgiveness of God, it changes you. When you've been forgiven much, you love much. Isn't that true? And so we don't want to be just the people that come to God because we want stuff from God or we want God to get us out of a mess. You know, Esau couldn't get himself out of the mess he got himself into. How many believe that Esau had opportunity to do what was right when he had a certain time frame given, allotted to him by God to do what was right? But because Esau did not do what was right in the allotted time that he was given, it was too late for him later, and he squandered away his inheritance for a bowl of lentil soup. In other words, he sacrificed eternity for the temporary. And the same thing is happening today. You got many people that are enemies of the cross. They don't want to take up their cross. They just want to live for self and self-fulfillment and live for this life only. And they're putting all their eggs in this basket. But that would be a foolish thing to do. Amen. Knowing that this world is like a sinking ship. And you don't get on a, you got to get off the sinking ship. Amen. You don't want to put your investment in a bank that you know is going to crash. It's time to get out. It's time to look up, amen, and get close to God and say, God, what can I do for you? Hallelujah. You've done so much for me. And I want a change of heart. I want a change of my character, amen. I want to be changed. Hallelujah. I just don't want you to do something for me. I want to be like you. I remember when I was a boy and my dad was... How many here just were impressed by your dad? Well, most of us, right? Hopefully you can raise your hand and say, yeah, there was things I really admired about my dad, you know. My dad's bigger than your dad. My dad can kick your dad's butt, you know, or whatever. My dad's a better mechanic or whatever it might have been, you know. But you prided yourself in your dad and you boasted in your dad, right? Because you loved your dad. And you want to do what pleased your dad. Hey, Dad, look what I'm doing. I used to come to my dad and I said, Dad, it hurts when I do that. Well, don't do that. No. But because you love your dad, you want to honor him, and you want him to be proud of you. You want him to be pleased with you. You do the things that would honor your dad. Dad gave you a responsibility. Amen. If you cared about your dad and you cared about his feelings, then you do a good job. And I remember if you didn't do a good job, well, there are consequences, right? But it was a relationship that I had, that I wanted to honor, I wanted to please my dad. Now, we can't always please everybody all the time. Amen? And how many know that what God really wants from us is not so much what we do for Him, but that we believe Him, but that we trust Him, that we lean on Him and we esteem Him and know and receive the love that He has for us and know that my Father is the one who approves of me. My Father's the one who validates me. I don't need, amen, anybody else. I don't need another man to tell me I'm okay. Amen. I don't need to be like the people on the street having to have somebody tell you you're okay. Are you hearing me, somebody? If you know that it's right between you and your God, hallelujah, then you don't need man to validate you. Come on, somebody. The problem is there's been a lot of boys growing up without fathers, amen, that are trying to seek a validation. And they're looking at it in the group mentality or what the crowd is doing. Why? Because there's an emptiness there. We need to shift away from the things of earth to the things of heaven and recognize that if my Father approves of me, life is good. If my Father says, I love you, even if you make a mistake, I still love you. Like the baseball song by Bob Bennett years ago. It says he loved me no matter how I played. I got out there, I did it my best. I gave my best, amen. But even though I might have struck out, he still came by with a softball, with a candy bar and a limousine ride in the family car. My dad loved me no matter how I played. God wants a relationship. He wants us to know His love, to open up and receive that love. Amen. And when you're in love with somebody, it's not a hard thing to serve them, to please them, to do the things that wouldn't grieve them. When you're in love with somebody, amen, you're looking for ways to please that person. If you're just doing it because if I don't, I'm going to get in trouble, then you're a legalist. Well, I don't like that stop sign out there. I'm just going to ignore it. Well, there's a reason why it's there. But if you understand, it's not just because you could cause an accident, but because you can hurt somebody. And somebody cared enough to put that stop sign out there to protect you. And if you can look past the legal part of that and say, but there's a heart behind that, there's a good reason for that stop sign to be there. That's how it is. Sometimes we have the letter of the law, but we don't know the heart of God. And God wants us to know His heart, to know Him. And so the law would point us to Him, the living Word. Esau was not interested in a change of heart, but only in a change of his circumstances. John's mission was to destroy the false security of the people that the people were living under. He came to destroy the false security that the people were living under. See, the great delusion was that the Jews, they prided themselves as the children of Abraham. You know, today people comfort themselves too. In the fact that maybe they were water baptized as a baby. Or they're current members of a church. Are you a Christian? Well, I was baptized. Are you a Christian? Well, I'm a member of. Or maybe they even grew up or belong to a Christian family. So they comfort themselves and because I'm in association with Christians, I must be, or I'm in a Christian family, that must make me a Christian. I mean, I know that every individual must be born again to see the kingdom. You're not going to get into heaven on your parents' experience. Amen. You must have your own relationship with Jesus. Or how about this? We can comfort ourselves in doing many good works. But Lord, Lord, didn't we? I've done a lot of good works for you, God. Certainly that should mean that you love me a little more. That you'll accept me. Do you understand? Are people trying to be accepted by doing good things, good works? Whereas good works should be the outflow of a heart that's in right relationship with His Creator because out of love you serve Him. This is a labor of love. Amen? And even as a pastor, if I'm in it for the money, then I need to step down. Because it's a calling. Amen? And we serve because we love God and we love people. Amen? And if we're benefited in other ways, praise God for that. I thank God for that. But it's not about that. We serve because we love. Because we're grateful. Because, Lord, I want to love you back. I want to love you back with the rest of my life. John revealed the fact that they were all in real danger of losing their mortal souls. He said in verse 10, "And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear fruit, good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And when the unbelieving Jews, they challenged Jesus, he said in John 8:39, they answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." Remember, Abraham was the father of faith, not of works. Abraham believed God. It was imputed to him as righteousness. "And now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this." Jesus went on to say in verse 44, "You are of your father, the devil." Oh, I'm sure he was winning friends and influencing people with that one. "And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So he's saying, listen, there's not this universal thing that the Pope wants to talk about. Everybody's a child of God. Not everybody is a child of God. You must be born again to become a child of God. We're actually a child of the devil when we're born. We were born in sin, born corrupted, born separated. We must come into the new birth in Jesus Christ. Amen. We must be in Christ in order to receive that identity as sons and daughters. John 1:12, "To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the authority," right? The authority to become the sons of God. We must become sons and daughters through the new birth. It's not a patching up or an improvement upon the old thing. I must repent from my heart and in order to be in position to receive the new birth. And when you're born again, things will change. You can no longer find satisfaction in the things that you used to delight in. You have a new normal now. John told the people that the day of God's wrath was coming. And to those of us who are ready, the thought of the day of God's wrath should not frighten us. Isn't that true? Why is that? 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us." Amen. So you and I, if we're in right standing with God, if we have peace with God, then the thought of death should not frighten us. The thought of the day of God's wrath should not frighten us. Why? Because in Christ, I have not been appointed to that. I believe the Lord is coming again soon. And he's coming for those who are looking for him. Who are those who are looking for him? Those who are living for him. Those who are anticipating his coming, hallelujah, are the ones that are preparing themselves, because soon and very soon we are going to see the King, hallelujah. And the Lord is going to call his bride, his church, the one that he's been waiting so long for. He's going to come again, isn't he? And he's coming for the ones that have been prepared, that have oil in their lamps, that are watching, that are waiting for him, anticipating the coming of the Messiah. And how do you know? Because of the way they live. They live as strangers and pilgrims in this world. Amen. They don't conform to the pattern of this world. Amen. But they're being transformed in the renewing of their mind through the Word of God and by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And they're becoming more and more like Jesus. They've got their wedding garments on. They're clothed in Christ alone, in his righteousness. And that's the only way that we're going to stand before the Lord. Amen. Is in his righteousness, not our own. We must be in Christ. You must be born again, guys. You see, there's false security given to people today as well. In John's day, he exposed it. Amen. Today, God, through the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, is calling men and women to repentance. You and I have been given the spirit of Elijah today. Amen. To prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight, a highway for our God. Make the path straight in your heart. Get it right now. Repent now. Get things settled. Amen. Now, because the day will come, and we don't know when that's going to be, but it's going to come suddenly, that we're going to be called out of here. And if you're not ready, it's going to be too late. Why is that? Because once we go into that bridal chamber and the door is shut, it will be too late. He said, you'll begin to knock on the door, say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Too late. That's why the Lord warned us. He said, watch and pray always, that you be counted worthy to escape all the things that are coming upon the earth. Do we not see it? And to stand before the Son of Man. Hallelujah. It's time for the church to wake up too, you know. God's people to get back, return to their first love. Rediscover where it is where they left off. What did I miss along the way here? Somehow I got distracted in all the craziness and the cares of this life. And now the Lord is no longer the center of my affection, the first in my life. Now I've got all these other things. God help us. God chose us to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to finish with this, guys. I say this often, and some people say, why are you always talking about repentance? Because people need to repent. Our nation needs to repent. The only hope for America is that we, as individuals, will repent. And God would turn our captivity. He'd hear from heaven, forgive our sin, heal our land. You don't hear enough about repentance today. Why? Because people don't want to hear it. But that's okay, because God has his people, and those who will hear it are the ones that really love the Lord. Amen? The ones that he's separated and he's calling. And so we're going to give this word. We're going to continue to encourage people to turn to the Lord. Amen? Turn back. Come back. Unfortunately, many are testing the Lord today by turning their liberty into a license for sin. But how did John encourage people to repent? By a promise. Through a promise. In Matthew 3:11, it says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. Amen. What is he saying? That God is coming to sort it all out. Do you not see today that there's a separation taking place? Amen. There's nobody in the middle anymore. You're going to have to take a side. You're going to have to choose this day who you're going to serve. Hallelujah. You're either for Christ or you're not. You're either going to gather with him or you're going to be one of the scatterers. So it's time, amen. Turn back. Get right. Get right with God. Pray. Seek his face. Submit yourself. And if you submit yourself to God, then you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. Guys, I don't live my life in fear of the devil. Come on. We understand the greater one is in us than he that's in the world. Amen? We're not supposed to live in fear. We're supposed to live in love. And when the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, because you have repented, then you have confidence. You have supernatural confidence. You have boldness even to speak the name of Jesus publicly. The reason why many people cannot open their mouth for Jesus is because they're not full of the Holy Spirit. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're full of divine confidence. Somebody say amen. And if you can't open your mouth for God when he's telling you to, amen, we need to understand that we need to stay close enough so that we can hear his voice. And if we obey and respond to when he's telling us to do something, then God will meet us in that place of obedience. God's going to be where he told you to be. You need to listen to his voice and step out in faith. If God's telling you to pray for somebody, pray for. As he wakes you up in the middle of the night, pray, put somebody in your heart. Pray for him. Amen. That's the Spirit of God. You get an opportunity to cooperate with God. Amen. And God will bless you someday for that. But he said this, his winnowing fan is in his hand. And that was the instrument that they would use to throw the wheat up into the air. A winnowing fan. Amen. And the wind would blow the chaff away. And the grain would fall to the ground. And they would gather up the grain into the barn. But they would take and gather up also the chaff, and they would burn it in the fire. But he said this, he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so what is he saying? The wheat are the true believers. They fall to the ground and are carried into the barn. But the unbelievers, the chaff, are going to be carried a short distance away by the wind and then gathered up and burned. But Jesus said, with unquenchable fire. A separation is taking place. I'm going to finish with this. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. We're in that time, are we not? And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. Guys, I believe that persecution is increasing, that we're going to be under more pressure as the days move on here. This battle really is against you and I because we represent the Lord. And because the devil knows he cannot touch God's heart, he's trying to touch his people so that he can hurt the heart of God. We're not appointed to suffer wrath, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we won't suffer the wrath of man. And so we need to be awake, alert, mindful, prayerful, looking for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Living in such a way that the world cannot accuse us of wrongdoing. Amen. So let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. So if the government's telling you to do something that God tells you to do, who are you going to obey? I thank God for those who are taking stands right now around this nation. You're saying, but God told us to gather. Amen? Matthew 18:20. What did the Lord say? Wherever two or three gather, right? Hebrews 10:18, is that the one? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. As the manner of some is, but what? We need to gather, don't we? And the more as we see the day approaching, the day of the Lord, we may have to change things up. I don't know what it's going to look like in another 6 months from now. But I do know this, and I've determined, we have determined, that we're going to do what God tells us to do regardless. You want to understand? Whenever man tries to undermine what God says, it's illegal. It's a rogue law. Amen. We are not to submit to any law of man that contradicts the will of God. But we are to obey the governing authorities in as much as it relates to, amen, our safety and those types of things, as long as they're not trying to get in here and tell us how we're going to conduct our business. Yes, I said that. Why? Because this is God's house. We are God's house. We are God's people. We're going to do what God tells us to do. The government may have a problem with that, but they had a problem with that in the time of Daniel, amen, with the three in the furnace. They said, King, we're not going to bow down. The Lord can deliver us, but if He doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your idol that you've erected under your own name, right? The idol of gold. And so that the safest place for them was to say, we're going to obey God. And who knows that God wouldn't do the same thing again today and deliver His people supernaturally because they obeyed Him and not man. Guys, we need to understand this. The safest place for us is in the will of God. Not to bow ourselves down to an illegal law, all right, that will tell you that you can't do what God told you to do. Because there's three laws. I'm going to finish with this. I said that a half hour ago. But there's a law of God, amen, that's the Most High. Then there's the law of nature. If you pollute the rivers and you drink the water, you get sick. And then there's the law of man, all right? The law of God is supreme. He is sovereign over all the earth. Hallelujah, amen? And you know what? I'm just praying, Lord, if you need to, bring them some of those governors out to pasture for a while like Nebuchadnezzar. Amen. Let them graze for a season. Because you know what God did? God showed mercy to Nebuchadnezzar. He came, he had a revelation of the living God. But it took an extreme measure like that. How many know that God is not willing that anyone should perish. He's not willing that our governor or any governor should perish, but that they should repent. Someone say amen. We should love people, amen, and we should love our enemies even and pray for them. I'm praying, God, we need a resurrection, amen. We need a transformation, hallelujah, in Washington, D.C., amen. And I say, Lord, if they're not going to repent, if they're reprobate, move them out and bring somebody in, amen, to take their place. Hallelujah. That's going to be true to their oath of office. Hallelujah. I'm going to get off this right now. Moving right along. But I am so glad to be a part of the family of God. If God has spoken to you today about anything in your life, something that you need to repent of, that's between you and Him. But let me counsel you, let me encourage you to listen to His voice. See that you don't refuse Him who speaks from heaven. Do you understand? We speak the gospel today by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. We're connected to the head, and when the Lord speaks, that is the time when God has given you an opportunity to receive His mercy through repentance. Would you bow your heads? God, thank you so much for each one today. Thank you for your word. Father, grant us repentance as a church throughout this nation. Grant us repentance as a church, Lord. Help us, God, to be an example to one another, to be an encouragement to one another. Father, help us to be an example in society, to be salt and to be light again. God, I pray that you'll baptize us with your Holy Spirit and fire. Lord, I pray, light us up for you. Set our hearts on fire. Holy Spirit, come, overshadow us. Would you lift your hands to Him right now and receive? Say, Lord, I receive all you have for me right now. Lord, I repent. Forgive me for all my sins. I come to you and I give you my life. I ask you to give me your life. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Empower me to live for you, to glorify you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.